migration, blah, 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 blah.
Jai.
This is a description of material existence.
Material existence is experienced when one becomes attached to a woman and forgets his real identity as the eternal servant of Krishna, Nashta Smriti. In this way, in one body after another, the living entity perpetually suffers the threefold miseries of material existence. To save human civilization from the darkness of ignorance, this movement was started. The main purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to enlighten the forgetful living entity and remind him of his original Krishna consciousness. In this way, the living entity can be saved from the catastrophe of ignorance as well as bodily transmigration. As Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has sung, Anadi karma pale pari vavarnava jale tari vare na dekhi upai evishaya hala hale divanishi yaj hale manakabu sukha nahi pai. Because of my past fruitive activities, I have now fallen into an ocean of nescience. I cannot find any means to get out of this great ocean, which is indeed like an ocean of poison. We are trying to be happy through sense enjoyment, but actually that so-called enjoyment is like food that is too hot and causes burning in the heart. I feel a burning sensation constantly, day and night, and thus my mind cannot find satisfaction. Material existence is always full of anxiety. People are always trying to find many ways to mitigate anxiety. But because they are not guided by a real leader, they try to forget material anxiety through drink and sex indulgence. Foolish people do not know that by attempting to escape anxiety by drink and sex, they simply increase their duration of material life. It is not possible to escape material anxiety in this way. The word pramada sangha tushadaha indicates that apart from all other contamination, if one simply remains attached to a woman, that single contamination will be sufficient to prolong one's material existence. Consequently, in Vedic civilization, one is trained from the beginning to give up attachment for women. The first stage of life is brahmachari, the second stage grahastha, the third stage vanaprastha, and the fourth stage sannyas. All these stages are devised to enable one to detach himself from the association of women. Ananta paretamasi magnunashta smriti samaha sasvatir anubhuyartim pramada sangha dushadaha. So umagana timidandasya gananjana shlakaya chakshur unmeditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So sometimes people will hear verses and purports like this, especially when it talks about women, and it can be a little discouraging for women, isn't it? I mean, you hear that, like, you know, if I was to hear this, you know, the main problem in life is people's attachment to people like you, you know. You know, people born in America, males, you know, whatever, you know, description that's pretty specific. I would feel really bad. I'd probably want to go hide in a corner, pull my blanket over my head, and just not come out again. So you can understand that, you know, just putting yourself in the position, you know, the men putting themselves in the position of a woman, hearing these things, is just like, there's no hope, attachment to people like me. Just the greatest entangling feature in the material world. People will stay forever in the material world. Forget it. I'm out of here. So let's analyze things a little further than just like the cursory inspection of the verse and purport. The word that is translated as a woman in the purport, in the verse, pramada, doesn't really specifically mean women. It means that which maddens you. That's a literal translation. Just like Lord Vrishabhadeva, he has this interesting verse, Nunam pramada kurte bikarna yad indriya pritya apranoti nisadamanyay, etc. So he says, Nunam pramada, that one is crazy, because it basically means to become crazy. Prakriti Rupena. That means, pra means still more. Amada means like an illusion. It doesn't mean crazy like a someone who has schizophrenia or something. You know, or multiple personality disorder. That's a different type of craziness. But crazy, like Prabhupada would say, who is crazy? The people who are identifying with the body, obviously. Those are crazy people. Actually, everyone's crazy. You know, just like not to criticize someone who's near and dear to me, but just like someone I know identifies himself sometimes with Spider-Man or with different superheroes. I mean, last night I made the terrible mistake of calling a demon a superhero. I said Catwoman. I thought it was one of the superheroes, but anyway, it's one of the demons. So, and I got harshly corrected by him. You know, you don't understand these things. Better I don't. Anyway, so when he identifies himself with these things, my initial impression is that it's crazy. You know, when I see a grown man walking around with a Spider-Man outfit, it's crazy, isn't it? Thinking you're Spider-Man. I mean, when a kid is one thing. I mean, when I was young, I would put on a cape with a big S on it. I don't know if you understand what that means. And I would jump off of chairs. You know, fortunately, I didn't jump off of anything higher than a chair. You know, or else, you know, I would have broke my ankles and legs and everything. But, you know, I thought I was could take off. I would run through the fields and just like hope, you know, I would take off one day. Never happened. Never really happened, fortunately or unfortunately. But anyway, so you had these. So that's crazy. I mean, a child, you know, the imagination is all right. But an adult, you know, if you see me running around in the field like that, you know, outside of the temple with a big S cape, you know, hoping to take off, you probably have some challenges in your faith as to, you know, my actual qualifications, isn't it? I mean, so you may want to call social services or something to take care of me. Can you imagine me running around like that? Or if I came one day, you know, even in a Spider-Man outfit or Power Ranger, I actually got someone a present, like Christmas present, a Power Ranger outfit. So, with a mask and everything like that. So, it's weird. You know, huh? Grow up. So, anyway, so, getting back to the point. So, people are walking around these bodies, and they think that it's just as crazy as thinking you're the Power Ranger or Spider-Man or anything like that, to think that you're this body. It's just a coat, you know, Mr. Coat. Or Mr. Red, or isn't it? Mr. Red, or Mr. Saffron, or Mr. Blue Eyes, or Mr. Four Eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, huh? You know, that's just as crazy. So, Nunam Pramata. So, that's the craziness that's Mada. So, Pramata, Nunam Pramate Kurute Vikarna. That one is actually attached to Yadindriya Pritya, that's the point. Who considers the satisfaction of the senses very dear, he's crazy. So I'm just telling you about what this word means, pramada. It means that which makes you crazy. It doesn't make you crazy, you make yourself crazy. That's another point. That if you have an object of the senses, don't blame the object of the senses for making you crazy. You have a desire to forget Krishna. And what it is, or let's talk about the women thing here. What is the that you want to be the Purusha? That's the point. You know, why does it make a man crazy when he sees a woman? When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. Did you hear that song?
That's amore.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. Anyway. So, can you imagine the moon hitting your eyes? I mean, just like picture that. That's pretty, you know, you'd be blinded. I mean, be killed anyway. So, I mean, just picture the whole stupid thing. So, because, why is it caused to be bewilderment? Let's analyze this, you know, when a man looks at a woman. Because it makes him think he's the Purusha, you know, Ishwara Hama Humbhagi, Siddha Humbhagi. So it perfectly fits that verse in the divine and demoniac natures. I'm the controller, I'm the protector. That's another thing. That's part of being the protector. I'm the well-wisher, you know, Suradam Sarvabhutanam. Suradam Sarvavaifinam. Sriinam. You know, Sri is actually the word for women in Sanskrit. So, because the man just looks like that, and then he thinks he's the alpha male. I mean, you know what an alpha male is? No, you don't know what that is. Alpha male. No. Like that. So, but the same thing happens when the woman looks at the man. You know, the man is also pramada for the woman. The man, in fact, because the woman, in spite of being in a female body, she thinks that she's the Purusha. You know, she thinks she's responsible for all the man's problems. You know, that's called codependency, of course. You know, that she's responsible. Like if the man has some problem with drinking, and he tells her, of course, that it's because of you I drink. It's because of you I'm getting angry. It's your fault I'm beating you up. So she's taking responsibility. You know, she's thinking that she's actually responsible. The Purusha, the control. And she also, the women have their other ways of controlling. The men control by puffing up their chest, like looking real masculine, talking in a low voice. And the women control with tears. You know, everybody's trying to control. In a different way, the ladies control. Always sweet words. Hello, honey. You know, and the man, you know, man is just like, he wants to be worshipped. You know, the man really, and the woman also wants to be adored. There's a different word, but it's pretty much the same thing. Put on a pedestal. I mean, even when I was, many years ago, you know, someone I know, who may name this, got married, and he was so attached to his wife, he had a life-size statue of his wife in the entranceway to the house. Can you imagine that? Life-size, you know, I walk in the house, I had a shock, you know. Actually, it was my father. But, second marriage, anyway. And she was dressed in her work clothes. So, I won't tell you what that was. But, anyway, so you walk in the house, and so, you know, so she's controlling him, he's controlling her. So really, for the woman, the male, or the... It's not the male so much that makes the woman crazy. It's the concept that she wants to be the enjoyer, proprietor, the owner, like that. And similarly, it's not the woman that makes the man crazy. So we have to get away from this point of denigrating, you know, people because they're woman or man. You know, sometimes you find these women who just like spit at men too. The man haters. And then you have the woman haters. You know, some of the brahmacharis. Maya they ha. Like that. So you have the man haters and the woman haters because they're blaming the other ones for their illusion. You can't blame the object of your senses for being an illusion. It's your desire to be the Purusha. You understand? To be, like we were talking about the other day, Bhaktaram Jagatapa Samsara Loka Maheshram Suradhava Sarvabhutanam Gyatwa Mam Shanti Vichati. So it's your desire to be the enjoyer, the ultimate goal of all the sacrifices, the friend, of well-wisher of everyone. But the problem is you don't get Shanti that way, because you can't do that. So when the man, let's say a situation between men and women, when the man tries to be those things, he ends up with a very anxiety-filled situation. You know, he can't understand the woman can't understand the man. So it's just like, he doesn't fulfill her desire, she doesn't fulfill his. I mean, that's the illusion, that's the problem. That they're seeing each other as the desire-fulfilling or the desire-fulfilling objects. Like that. And it doesn't work like that. and doesn't work like that, then because you can't even understand the other person, because, as they say, you know, women are from Venus and men are from Mars, you know. They think differently. They think differently, but they think the same in terms of trying to enjoy the world. They both want to be purushas in different ways. You understand? But it's like incompatible ways. Which is real funny. Incompatible ways they both want to be purushas. So it doesn't, you know, you have two purushas in the house, it really doesn't work out that well. It's like if you have in the pasture, you have like two male cows who are just trying to be the purushas. And, you know, they end up butting each other all the time. Isn't it? So it happens like that. So therefore, the solution is not to denigrate the opposite sex, but it's to denigrate your desire to control and be the enjoyer. That's what we denigrate. I mean, the demon is ourselves. We have to take responsibility. See, one thing that's very interesting, people don't take responsibility, especially nowadays, people don't take responsibility for their actions, not only in regard to the men-women thing, but in regard in general, people don't. They just want to blame it on someone else for their anger. They want to blame on someone else made them angry. Or for the psychological disturbance, they want to blame it on their analysis, you know, that I have this disease and therefore I'm this way, you know, don't blame me, you know, I'm neurotic. I mean, yeah, they may have a neurosis, but still, it disempowers people when you start giving labels to people's situations. I mean, physical things are different things. Like, you know, I have an infection. You know, that's something different. But when you're talking about like the subtle things, to blame it on others or to blame it on the disease itself, it's very disempowering. You know, I drink because, you know, typical what I say is I drink because I'm an alcoholic. I take drugs because I'm a drug addict. And so you identify yourself with that. And it's a very disempowering thing. So we shouldn't be blaming, the point I'm making is we shouldn't be blaming particular living entities for putting us in Maya. We put ourselves in Maya because we have enjoying propensity. So the question is, how to change that mentality? And the only way I know of changing the mentality is to see yourselves, all of us, should see ourselves as the Prakriti rather than the Purusha. What does that mean? That means we were all female in an ontological sense in relationship to Krishna. We're all meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. And enjoyed to such an extent as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us that, you know, Krishna, you may do anything. I mean, we'd all like to have someone who is like that as our object of enjoyment, isn't it? I mean, you think, like a man would think, I'd like to have a wife or girlfriend who I can crush her by her embrace, leave her brokenhearted by not being present before her. You know, but do anything and everything and she'll be a debauchee too. And she'll be loyal to me and just always serving me. We all want that. I mean, women want that too. I want a husband who's like that, no matter how I nag him. That he'll always remain faithful in whatever I do. But we have to be like that in relationship to Krishna. That's really what dedication, devotion, or becoming Prakriti means. Lord Chaitanya's verse, isn't it? That Nisli Shiva Pada Panashtamama Darshana Marmadam Rotuva Yatatata Bhavadatu Lampato Mat Prana Natas Tusa Eva Napada. That word Lampato actually means debauchee. Lampataha. It means. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada actually translates it with that word, debauchee. You know, he said, you can be a debauchee, but I'm always your servant, whatever you do to Krishna. So basically, what that means practically is that in our lifetimes, things will happen that we're not so happy about. And basically, as we know, it's Krishna doing it. And so, you know, there may be the tendency to say, Krishna, why did you do this? I'm not going to worship you any. This is too difficult to worship you, to serve you, like that. You should have arranged things differently. You were like the nagging wife who also wants to be the Purusha. So we want to nag Krishna. Now, of course, if you're like Satchabhama, you can nag Krishna. She nagged Krishna by just get me a Parijata flower. Or you got Rukmini a flower, you got to get me a whole tree. So that nagging is fine. But that's very Rasika stuff. But she considers herself, even so, Satchabhama considers herself a maidservant of Krishna. And whatever Krishna does, she'll remain faithful to him. So we have to have that attitude. Whatever Krishna does, situation Krishna puts us in, whatever happens, we just remain dedicated. Tatena kampam susha mikshmana bunjana vatma kritam vipakam. Ridvag bhupurvir vidadam namaste jivete yo mukti pade siddhaya. We go on offering our service to Krishna. We're faithful like that. And we don't try to control Krishna. You understand? So then we actually become prakriti, or female, in relationship to Krishna. Not that our spiritual body is necessarily female, but we become in that same mood. And when we're in that mood, then we don't get attracted. We don't try to be the Purusha. We don't get attracted. We don't get bewildered by any of the things, whether it's male or female, in this world. That is the solution to the bewilderment that one experiences. And if one doesn't take that solution, you will become bewildered. It is guaranteed, 100% guaranteed. If you don't think yourself with prakriti, relationship to Krishna, there's only one other alternative: to be the Purusha. Or to try to be, not to be the Purusha, sorry, but to try to be the Purusha. It's the only, so if you think yourself the prakriti, then you could be married, and, you know, your wife, it's not that you dislike your wife, because she's also a devotee of Krishna. And actually, Srila Gaurikishoredas Babaji Maharaj advised one grihastha couple when they got married, so that the man would avoid the concept of himself being the Purusha. He said, you should cook for your wife and take care of her. You know, because generally people get married because they want someone, the men, they want someone to iron their clothes. You know, that's a typical thing in the temple all the time. You see some brahmacharini, young brahmacharini, irons and brahmacharis' clothes, and the next thing you know, they're married. And the next thing you know, he never gets his clothes ironed again. That's the last time. And he's ironing her saris after that point. So people get married for that reason. So Srila Gaurikishoredas Babaji Maharaj, he said to the man, he said, you should do things for your wife, cook for her, take care of her, to destroy the guy, not just to abuse the poor guy. You know, the poor guy was looking forward to getting married, and all of a sudden he lost all the happiness from it. But just to teach him that he's not the Purusha, he's prakriti. He's meant to serve. And also another way we can learn that we're properties by serving the Vaishnavas. And actually serving all living entities, ultimately. By considering ourselves the servant of everybody. Dasa, 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 no das, isn't it? And this way, you know, that then someone could be married or not married, and they won't be bewildered by the sweet words of the opposite sex, or the, you know, the muscles of the opposite sex. Imagine. I mean, it's hard for me to see it from a woman's perspective, how muscles would be attractive, I mean. Anyway, certain things I just can't understand. So, I love your muscles. You know, you see sometimes magazines of like muscle-bound men, they can't even bring their hand to feed themselves because, you know, there's so many muscles, just like, anyway, so really that's the point. We're servants. And we understand that, then there's no more bewilderment. It's a very easy solution, but it's also painful in the beginning. It's extremely painful in the beginning. And then in the end, it's like nectar. So any questions or comments about any of these points? You got five more minutes. Yeah.
I read a story of one of the ladies in our movement. And this story goes how the experiences that she had, and especially in this regard, that this word speaks that the woman is the
bewildering fact. Yeah.
So she was a very successful preacher, and she would develop different preaching programs. And just when it was very successful, she was removed from that position. And she was informed that somebody who is more capable than her will take over. And then they informed her that she has to get married. And when she learned about the person that she was supposed to get married, she got really scared because it was a person of a very low character. And she was really afraid. And then she started to fast, and she was fasting for several days.
Oh my God.
And after that, she decided that she just has to surrender.
Oh my God.
So then she agreed to get married, and she was severely abused physically and emotionally. And so my question is, since you brought up that point, that you should just accept any situation that Krishna was...
That Krishna provides, not that some bad manager provides.
Yeah, so how does this go in reality?
Krishna also gives us intelligence. When we talk about Krishna providing things, we shouldn't surrender our intelligence to others. It's actually, you know, we're talking about this last night, that people just want to follow someone blindly. I mean, in Korea, for example, you see them, I don't remember the names of all the leaders, Samyung 2 or Samyung 3 or whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. So, you know, the great leader, they call the great leader. So that, I mean, of course, I'm sure many people are dissatisfied, they're just doing it because they're fearful. But some people are actually, you know, they were crying and everything like that, you know, because some jerk died. I mean, he was an exploiter, cheater, in so many ways, you know, the leader of that country. It's so obvious, and people knew it. But, you know, blind following Prabhupada said, an absurd inquiry is obedient to be condemned. He says this directly in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna, when we say Krishna did something, it's not that some temple leader is Krishna, or direct, you know, everything they say is coming from the absolute platform. That the philosophy was misapplied, and maybe even today is misapplied by many leaders in not only Krishna consciousness movement, but every religious society. It happens like that. You know, I'm God's representative. And, you know, people just blindly follow, but people should use their intelligence. And we should emphasize that and make devotees aware of that so they don't get exploited or dealt with harshly or improperly or put in situations that are detrimental to their Krishna consciousness. So definitely that wasn't Krishna's arrangement. That was, I mean, in one sense you can say it was teaching her to use her own intelligence. I mean, sometimes we have to, because we didn't use our intelligence, you know, which is a manifestation of Krishna, it's a Sukhisha, then we actually learn the hard way that we should have followed blindly. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example, like in the past where I've been some disobedient to different authorities. I mean, one time I was traveling with these two people who are no longer sannyasis, Guru Kripa and Yasodhananda, you may remember them. And they, you know, at that time people used to respect sannyasis. And I was a brahmachari. And what they did, I mean, I'm not even going to describe what they did. It was like traveling with Bonnie and Clyde or Jesse James or something like that. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, they talk more about women than Playboy magazine does. So they were just in a negative way, you know, always negative, you know, real like tough. Because one of them was a Marine before, and he carried his conditioning into the Krishna consciousness. Anyone here has met Guru Kripa? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's an imitation of him. Anyway, I like him. He's my godbrother. But anyway, so It was like that. And the brahmacharis were obediently following, many of the brahmacharis were obediently following. And they actually developed, many of them developed psychological problems because they served them. But what I did is when I saw that they, you know, they were off. I told them, I said, you guys, you know, speak more about sex life than a pornographic magazine does. And I said, you're both in Maya. And they go, I don't know what you can do with this guy. And they actually had killed someone at a certain point. And I'm not going to mention how. Anyway, they could drown in the Jamuna, but you may know this. So you know, I was taking my life in my own hands. But fortunately, I was intelligent enough to say, you know, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And they go, well, what are we going to do with this guy? You know, it was just like, ooh. And then, you know, we were trained up. You got to follow your representative. He's the representative of Krishna, you know. And somehow or other. Actually, I thank my mother for that. Because she taught me to be rebellious. She wanted to impose, like, heavy punishment on me. And I would instead of, like, being submissive, I turned rebellious. So that helped me, my attitude towards authority. I told the devotees the other day, I said, the only authority I was ever submissive to was Prabhupada in my whole life, basically. And that's helped me. I mean, it's really helped me in devotional service a lot. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's really helped me because I was, you know, as the first person and maybe the last person. I mean, Krishna too, you know, put him up there too. So, but no, because like Prabhupada, he wanted people who were thinking independently. He didn't want people like overly dependent. It weakens one. Like, anyway, so that's a lesson we should learn, and also in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we should make it clear to the devotees, you don't have to follow blindly. You know, use your own intelligence. It's not because the temple president says you've got to get married that you've got to get married. Or vice versa, if the temple president says you've got to remain a brahmachari, it's not because you've got to remain a brahmachari either. You know, use your intelligence. You know, figure out. You know best. I mean, if you use your intelligence as to what's best. You can take advice, you take facilitation, everything like that. But you're the one who's ultimately responsible for your decisions in life. You know, you're the one who suffers or enjoys or goes back to Godhead or stays in the material world. That's the point of individual responsibility. You know, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. Yeah, so it's very sad what happened to that lady. I mean, I feel very sad hearing that because, you know, I want our movement to facilitate people's Krishna consciousness and also being situated properly in this world rather than to actually disempower people and discourage people and drive people away. Okay, on that happy note. What a happy note. It's not too happy, but anyway, it's a positive.
Were you going to show up at...
What?
Breakfast? Were you
gonna... Should I do that this morning?
I don't know. Were you planning to?
No, I did that last night.